This is News West. News West is put together by the WA Amateur Radio News. News West is a community organisation with community news. If you want to submit something, please do so. newswest@vk6.net.
Scouts Western Australia is holding a jamboree-style camp over the April school holidays. Over 1,500 scouts from across Western Australia, as well as interstate, will descend on the Swan Valley for a 9-day camp full of action, adventure and expeditions. The theme One Camp is celebrating the fact that for the first time in Australia, a camp of this scale will incorporate all age groups in a jamboree-style camp, although the younger members will stay for a shorter time. While older youth will participate in off-site adventure activities and expeditions, all participants will spend time doing a range of activities on-site as well. Amateur radio will feature, with a station in the lab, a STEM-focused activity with lots of hands-on activities. We've even snuck in a few escaped animals of the stuffed variety that need rescuing from around the site. Scouts should be able to find these thanks to their hidden tracking transmitters. Of course, we'll also be on air. ICOM have proudly partnered with Scouts WA to supply the special event station VI61, that's Victor India 6, Oscar November Echo, with some of the latest equipment. So, look out for VI61 on air from Wednesday the 12th of April until Wednesday the 19th of April 2023.
Hi, this is an article from Barry Burns, VK6ADI, on his introduction into slow scan TV. My first experience to this digital mode was back in the early 70s in Darwin, Northern Territory, when I got an invitation by Doug MacArthur, VK8KK/VK3 Uniform Mike, now a Silent Key, to visit his QTH for a demonstration in a new craze in amateur radio called slow scan television. Doug acquired a robot SSTV kit from the USA, setting it up using a 5-inch Crow tube, a 5BP1. He was in contact with a ham in the USA on 20 metres. Doug's transceiver was a Yaesu FDX-401, very popular in those early days of SSB. I could see a fuzzy image, 36 lines, but identifiable image coming down on the green tube, and I was immediately hooked on this new technology in amateur radio. I acquired a robot kit from the USA and was in the process of assembling it, but never completed the project, as we got a visit from Cyclone Tracy on Christmas Day, and our elevated home with the ham shack underneath in the laundry area did not pass the wind test. We ended up with a large dance floor with an open-air toilet. Our experience surviving Cyclone Tracy will be a subject of a future article and a part of that amateur radio played in it, and how my family was evacuated to Adelaide by a Galaxy transport aircraft. The underneath shack was holed by flying debris, as the walls were asbestos, which was not prohibited in that period. All my homebrew radio equipment was damaged and waterlogged, putting an end to my ham activities. 3 months later, I flew to Adelaide on recovery and recreation leave to spend 2 weeks with my family. While in Adelaide, I bought a Kenwood TS520 transceiver, which had just come out on the market, and took it back to Darwin so I could get back on the ham bands. The army and other services had finished erecting 3 temporary rooms and a roof so I could live there. No roof over the toilet so I could sit on the throne and look at the stars. SSTV was put on hold and got interested in RTTY and acquired a Model 15 teletype machine made up of an interface and back on air with RTTY and SSB with a G5RV antenna. Still had water on site but no power. Hence, was given a 3 kilovolt amp generator by the NT Emergency Services. I never got back into SSTV until I left Darwin in 1997. I bought a 100-acre property in Beverley, WA. It was in 1998, after I had established a ham station in Beverley, that I contacted Tony, VK6ATI, and Ray, VK6ET, who were experimenting with analog SSTV, using MMSSTV. This exposure reunited me back into SSTV and loaded the software down to join them on regular skeds on the HF bands. Ray had set up a repeater on SSTV in Clackline near Northern WA, where we could test our transmitted images and also check for propagation conditions. Over the years, we experimented and used various forms of software from Digitrix, HamPal, and finally settled on EasyPal, as Tony VK6ATI described in his previous article on SSTV a few months back. The WASSTV group for the past two decades have kept regular skeds on various modes and sessions made interesting when an image is sent. The operator talks about the history and contents of the image. Tony VK6ATI is a net controller and has ran and kept the group together for the past two decades. Deserves a long service medal, as Tony mentioned. Information can be obtained on our webpage, wasstv.net, for downloading the software, frequency and times our SSTV sessions are run. 7.3, this is Barry VK6ADI.
This is News West, your amateur radio news on VK6ARN, originating on the News West Linked Repeater Network and HF Relays.
Hi, I'm Steve VK6SJ with this week's episode of Did You Know? I thought this week we might have a quick look at ham and mainstream communication suppliers in WA, not just shops where you can buy stuff for your weekend projects, but also to highlight some high-class manufacturers based here in WA who support our hobbies in ways that not everyone appreciates. So who do we have in WA? Anyone who's been in the hobby for 30-plus years will remember the Tet Emtron brand. It was synonymous with tri-band Yagis and amplifiers and great quality tuners and other things you needed in your shack. While many of these products are no longer made by Emtron, Tet Emtron moved to WA from Victoria about 15 years ago, and after a brief stint in Perth, moved to the coastal fishing town of Dongara, where Mark, the owner of Tet Emtron, still makes great quality antennas, antenna components, balons of all types and power ratings, and components such as coax connectors and lightning arresters. While most antenna manufacturers in Australia only sell assembled antennas, Tet Emtron will sell separately every component to build your own antennas, or you can buy a complete antenna in kit form that's proven very popular here in WA, as well as around the country. Mark appears in more ham fests around the country than any other ham supplier, bar none. Mark, along with the rest of the suppliers to our hobby in WA, donates heavily to most, if not all, clubs here with vouchers and products. Another manufacturer in Perth that gets less recognition than they deserve is Bushcom. Bushcom, as well as the ham-specific brand Horizon, make great products for both the ham and commercial HF sector. They make a great selection of wire antennas well-suited for the lower bands that also work well in the high bands, and there are a lot of newer hams in Perth whose first antenna has come from Bushcom's factory in Bayswater. On top of that, though, they also make balons, mobile HF antennas, and also open to making the odd special as well. The face of Bushcom, Graham, is also often seen at ham events in WA and also sells many of his products to DX Engineering in the US, one of the world's largest ham sales organisations. Here's some great boutique products such as magnetic loops and steerable dipoles for 40 metres. Might add he also donated an 80 and 40 metre antenna to Ham College, which has been very much appreciated. Who remembers the Terlin brand beginning who knows when? I'm only 57, so I don't remember them starting. They made the iconic Outbacker and Ham Outbacker mobile tap whips that were the go-to antenna before auto antenna tuners became a thing. This was also a WA brand that enjoyed global exposure and was based here in Perth. Terry, the owner, still makes the odd shipment of product for his most loyal customers, including major international ham brands. In the regional areas of WA, we also have some great businesses supporting the hobby. In Albany, there's the Leading Edge, who's a registered ICOM ham dealer, and active ham, John, VK6KJ. And in Geraldton, there's also another emerging ICOM dealership run by Greg, VK6FG. In Perth, many of the mainstream communications businesses have also supported our hobby in less public ways. A friend of mine who's busily building interest in ham radio in the scouting movement tells me that Radlink repaired his long out-of-warranty repeater recently, and I keep hearing of Steve at Digital Radio Systems in Canning Vale, donating all sorts of stuff to various ham groups, including a couple of solar batteries to WAG recently. In the past, Perth has had a very special place in the communications industry. One of two of the largest commercial HF manufacturers in the world, Barrett, is based in Perth and now owned by the largest radio manufacturer in the world. Who hasn't seen a KL or KX repeater in a repeater sites across the country? Many a ham in Perth has worked for the manufacturer dating back to the late 80s and has a soft spot for those radios. A similar radio, but much updated, is still manufactured here in Perth by Spectra Engineering, the owner of which is often seen at hamfests in Perth. I was presenting a design package to Los Angeles County for a data radio system about 10 years ago when Motorola presented their paging system using the MX800 from Spectra Engineering. I was representing a Sydney-based company at the time, but I couldn't help speaking up that it was a great Perth-made product. Other hams in Perth are not only working in iconic Perth comms companies in niche areas, but one Perth-based ham in particular has been central in bringing software-defined radios into the mainstream ham sector, Phil VK6APH, and has lectured on the subject all around the world. Another emerging business in our sector is NetWest. While they are predominantly an IT business, they are the technical muscle behind the Austravel commercial HF network, of which many hams are also a member of. NetWest also repairs ham rigs, and I think the only business doing that here. They do a very professional job of that, by the way. Some of you probably know that I also run a ham business. I don't want this to be a blatant self-serving plug, so I won't harp on long. The business is called DX Radio Systems and has a retail presence in Midland. We're the Australian distributor for Flex Radio and the largest ham ICOM dealer in WA. Google us and you'll find out more. For a city of 1.5 million, we are well and truly overrepresented in the communications industry in this country, in my opinion. Other iconic brands in the past that have manufactured radios and accessories include Wyoki Electronics, Allcom, Perth Communications, who made a small HF mobile radio in the 70s and 80s right here in Perth. So, support your local businesses in Perth who support your hobby. Look at who keeps turning up to all of the ham events or at least donating to them. The hobby would be poorer for their departure. Supporting them assists to make sure that they don't depart, and they're all great value anyway, so you aren't paying a premium to support them. Well, thanks for listening again. This has been Steve, AK6SJ, with another episode of Did You Know? If you'd like a text copy of this or other articles, they'll be posted to my blog page at dxradiosystems.com.au about 2 weeks after it's gone to air.
This is VK6ARN, and you're listening to News West.
Hi, this is Dan, VK6NAD. As you may have heard, a family team of VK6FMUM and VK6NAD and co. are travelling to Carnarvon to activate Victor India 6 Charlie Romeo Oscar VI6 CRO, which is the call sign for a special event station being held at the Carnarvon and Space and Technology Museum, located on Browns Range at the old OTC site, along with the assistance of VK6TU and the museum curator VK6YOB. The event call sign will kick off from Monday the 17th of April through to Sunday the 23rd of April. This is aimed to coincide with the Wednesday the 20th eclipse, which is occurring between Carnarvon and Onslow, with best views to be held over Exmouth. The station will be active at various times of the day, depending on conditions and what our family holiday allows. We're set to operate satellite, HF, Echolink, and possibly via other modes such as SSTV. That said, due to the sensitive NBN connection at the museum, HF may be limited to 10 metres and possibly 15, 20, depending on our success at managing potential interference. HF is planned to occur from 1pm to 4pm daily, depending on operator availability. We would like to say a special thanks to VK6TU, who will be ducking into the station once or twice on his way past. Michael provided most of the satellite equipment, so we're truly grateful for that. Also, WA Amateur Radio News organised the call sign and the introductory leaflets, etc. And the NCRG for the loan of the mast. Thanks, Bob and Eddie. Special thanks goes to Steve Kennedy of Future Systems as well for all of his kind offers of help. And most importantly, VK6FMUM, who's put up with me these last 6 months while I've been organising this. We look forward to making lots of contacts. And for those wondering, the VI-6 CRO. Callsign was NASA's designation for Carnarvon during the Apollo missions.
This is Greg, VK6LH, and I'd like to thank you for listening to this week's News West. We'll be back next week. If you'd like to contribute anything, please send it through to newswest@vk6.net.